Talk Show.
Recorded live.
God bless you all today. I would like to welcome you all to another Talk Show segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. And today we're going to get into something definitely, you know, it's a hot topic in the body of Christ. You all heard me teach on it before, you know, but I just felt led of the Lord to really teach on it again, but except this time put more emphasis on some things that I didn't get a chance to put more emphasis on the last time. Amen. If you go back to my segments, I talked about the ministry of the apostle. Amen. I talked about the ministry of the apostle. This will be kind of like a continuation on it. Certain things that I wanted to talk about before I didn't get a chance to last time. Praise God. And I know that, you know, it's been some segments, it's been quite a few segments back since I taught on it. Amen. And I also taught on the ministry of the prophet. Amen. So you might want to go back and listen to that as well. Amen. But we're going to talk about basically the realignment of apostolic ministry, because the Lord has been revealing to me lately that many people view apostolic ministry from a churchy perspective instead of a kingdom perspective. Amen. And people limit the apostolic ministry just to church. Amen. Apostles are not just called to church, amen, even though they're first in the church, according to 1 Corinthians 12:28, praise God, they're not limited to the church, amen, as well as the ministry of the prophet, amen. So we're gonna dig into this thing. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for another opportunity to speak to your people, Father. Father, I release, Father, the fullness of the kingdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit on this line right now in Jesus' name. Father, I speak that these airways are covered by the blood of Jesus, Father. Father, I rebuke all distractions in Jesus' name. Father, let your people leave edified and formed and empowered. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The apostolic anointing operates in many different ways, and you know this is a part of the apostolic that many folks don't teach because they just don't know it. Amen. This is a part of the apostolic a ministry that people just don't know. I'm not saying that I'm the only one that got it, praise God, but not too many people have it. Amen. I've heard quite a few people teach this, but not a whole bunch. Amen. But first, before we get further into what the Lord is trying to show us, we must understand the difference between the ministry of the apostle and being apostolic. I think that people get that mixed up a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people that can function apostolically, praise God, but that means in their minds, it means that they're called to be an apostle. Just like if somebody gives you a prophetic word and say that you have an apostolic anointing upon your life, or you know you are an apostolic this or an apostolic that, amen, people automatically think, wow, I'm called to be an apostle. Amen. Wow, I think I'm called to be an apostle. I received a prophecy that I'm apostolic and I'm this and I'm that. Amen. But I'm going to show you in Scripture that there's a difference. There's a difference, and so many people get this mixed up, and I touched on it last time, but I feel led to touch on it again. Amen. If you go to Luke 10, I'm going to show you something real quick. In Luke 10, amen, Luke 10, it talks about how the 70 were sent out, right? Now, it was that they were sent just like the apostles were sent, okay? It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Amen. So the 70 went out. The Bible says they were sent. So the apostles were sent. But the only difference is that Jesus specifically named the 12 as apostles, but the 70, he didn't name them anything. He just sent them. Amen. See, people get these two mixed up. See, the 70 were apostolic because they were sent. However, they were not appointed to operate in the full ministry of the apostle. They were not anointed, ordained by God to operate in the full apostolic ministry. They were not called to perform the function of the apostle. Amen. So what does it mean to be apostolic? I'm going to give you a scriptural example. I'm going to start with the Jerusalem church. When the Jerusalem church was experiencing persecution, praise God, the Bible teaches that the early Christians, praise God, were scattered in, you know, into many places, and even many ministries was birthed forth from them being scattered. And one in particular was a Antioch. Amen. Amen. So it was the grace of God upon the apostles that was upon the people that allowed them to go forth and spread out, praise God, and to establish, amen, gatherings. They established assemblies, amen. But the apostles, now I'm going to just deal with Antioch right now, realized that these things was happening and that different assemblies was being established as the people of God began to spread out. So in Antioch, he sent Barnabas, right, who was clearly functioning as a prophet. He sent Barnabas, and Barnabas went and got Paul, and they went to Antioch. Amen. In Acts 13, it says that the Antioch church was ran by prophets and teachers. Amen. But they had an apostolic accountability, but because they were still birthed forth from the Jerusalem church. Now, those people that it established those assemblies, they were apostolic because they was able to move forth, amen, and even in the midst of persecution, praise God, and even in the midst of everything that was going on, they was able to go forth and be able to move and establish apostolically. Amen. They operated in a dimension of an apostolic grace and anointing, but they did not have the authority of the apostle. That's why the apostles had to establish leadership in those ministries. Amen. Do you follow me? Praise God. So they were apostolic. Okay, another example. Thank you, Jesus. The apostle Paul told the Corinthians that they was partakers of his grace, right? So that means, and we know that the fivefold ministry are grace giftings, amen? They're grace giftings, amen? The Apostle Paul always mentioned how he was an apostle by the grace of God and he was chosen by God and all of the above, amen? So we must understand this, that that the grace of God that was upon Apostle Paul's life, praise God, was upon the people too. He said that you were partakers of my grace. So that same apostolic anointing, amen, that was on Paul, amen, because the anointing really flows from the head down. It does, praise God, regardless of how many folks don't want to acknowledge it. Amen. If God has placed you under an apostolic leader, then your apostolic flow, praise God, is going to come from your head. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody has their own personality, their own way that God deals with them, but your apostolic flow is going to come from the head. Amen. So if you're in the church and you call to be apostolic or prophetic and your leader don't flow in it, it's only but so far you're going to go. Amen. So the same apostolic anointing that was upon Paul was upon the people. That's why he said you're partakers of my grace. Amen. The grace of God that was upon his life. So people don't know the difference between being apostolic and being actually called to the ministry of the apostle. I notice a lot of prophets make this mistake too, because they're called to move and function apostolically. For example, Barnabas was one of the prophets that was over the church of Antioch, but he was sent from the Jerusalem church. Amen. He was functioning then as an apostolic prophet. What is an apostolic prophet? This could be like a senior prophet of a ministry, praise God, or it could be a prophet who's actually over a ministry. Amen. A prophet that has an established ministry. Amen. But they have an apostolic accountability. Amen. A lot of prophets make this mistake because they have they have apostolic anointings, but they're not called to the apostolic function or the apostolic ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's a difference between being an apostle and being apostolic. Amen. Those who are called to the ministry of the apostle live an apostolic lifestyle. They do. Amen. Those who are called to the ministry of the apostle lives an apostolic lifestyle. Amen. I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures. Praise God. I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Because there's certain things that automatically come with apostolic ministry. Amen. You got some folks out here that call themselves apostles and ain't experienced nothing. Haven't seen nothing, haven't experienced nothing. Praise God. No revelation. Just hoop and holler. Amen. You preach a good word, but can you preach a kingdom word? Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to point out a couple of, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to point out quite a few verses in here. Amen. And a lot of, when Paul is talking, he says we, our, and us a lot. You know, you can you can trace that back to him talking about himself and his fellow apostles that accompany him. Amen. There are some scriptures in the Word of God that are particularly for apostles first. Amen. They're particularly for apostles first. I know a lot of folks don't like that. Praise God, but it is what it is. Amen. It says Lord, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I said first. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, let a man so consider us as servants and stewards of the mysteries of God. First of all, apostles walk in ministry of revelation, and I'll touch on that a little bit later, but you cannot be an apostle and don't have present truth and revelation. Amen. If you don't flow in revelation, most likely, praise God, you're not really functioning as an apostle like you're supposed to. All apostles flow in revelation. Amen. The mysteries of the kingdom of God is revealed to the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Revelation comes from the apostles and the prophets. The whole entire Bible was written by apostles and prophets. Amen. I'm not saying that the other ministry gifts are not more important. Amen. Because every gift is needed. Every gift is needed. However, apostles and prophets flow in a dimension of revelation that none of the other ministry gifts flow in. So if you're an apostle or a prophet and you don't have no revelation, you don't have no insight, praise God, into the things of God, into the spirit, into the mysteries of the kingdom of God, then you need to go back and pray. Amen. Not doubting your call, but you may not be rightly positioned to hear God. Amen. And a lot of things, a lot of times too, a lot of us can be battling and dealing with different religious spirits because of our background. Praise God, because of our background. You know, and that can prevent God from showing us certain things too, or receiving certain things as they come to us. Amen. Because let me tell you something, and Lord, I feel led to go here. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul addressed something, okay? The Apostle Paul addressed something. He said that, matter of fact, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there real quick because I feel led to go here. Praise God. I'm going to go here because this is something that God has been dealing with me on as well. Amen. 1 Corinthians, let me see, where is it at? Chapter 10. It says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, right? In the same judgment. It says, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Contentions means divisions, quarrelings, praise God, different arguing and stuff like that, just all kind of chaos and conflict. All right? And it says, now I say this, that each of you say says, I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. Or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, this is an indication that it was a split there, right? It was a split, all right? Denominationalism started right there in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. It was a denomination. Everybody claimed that I'm of Cephas following. I'm of Peter's following, because Peter and Cephas, same thing. I'm following Paul. I'm following Apollos. Oh no, I'm just a follower of Christ. Doesn't it sound like that's what's going on today? I'm Church of God in Christ. I'm Pentecostal. I'm holiness. Come on now, I'm apostolic, but you a bishop. Come on now. Denominationalism is nothing new. Denomination, it means divided nations. That's what it means. Denomination means divided nations. Amen. If we're all supposed to be under the same umbrella and serving the same God, then why are there many different beliefs, praise God, and many different interpretations of the same Bible? And we are supposed to have the same Holy Ghost and serve the same God. Amen. I know some folks don't like it, praise God, but I'm going to tell you the truth. If you are an apostle, the Apostle Paul addressed this. You cannot be an apostle and be linked to some kind of denomination, because you're not called to be denominational, but you're called to be kingdom. You're called to be kingdom ambassadors, praise God, kingdom representatives. Amen. We're called to be kingdom messengers. Amen. We cannot be apostles and be linked to denominations. Amen. And there are a lot of Pentecostals now that are starting to have apostles. Amen. You got Baptists now that are embracing, you know, apostles, which is surprising to me, but you have very few that's doing it. Praise God. But you cannot be an apostle and be tied down to a denominational belief. Amen. You cannot do it. The apostolic anointing actually breaks denominational barriers. And that's what the Lord said to me. He said this to me, that he's getting ready to do in this next season. Amen. He's getting ready to break down denominational barriers. Amen. Because denominations are not of God. Amen. God may have used a specific person to do a specific thing, praise God, but he never, never intended for it to be denominational, to a place where it caused division, everybody believing different stuff but claim to serve the same God. That's not of God. Amen. You got one group that believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then you got one group believing oneness. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit is the same person with different functions. Amen. Well, I can shut that down for you right now. Praise God. Who was Jesus praying to? Hello? Who was Jesus praying to? When Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do, and many times he said that he was sent by his Father. Hello? Okay, in the beginning of Genesis, when God said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness, praise God. Our is plural, it's not singular. Amen. Folks just spooky. Praise God. Jesus and God, they're both God, but they're not the same people. Amen. But they're one because they agree. Father, Son, Holy Ghost are one because they agree. All three of them are on the same page. It's not that hard. Amen. But this is what denominationalism has done. Amen. And then you got some, praise God, that put all kind of rules and emphasis on what you're supposed to wear, praise God, and what you're not supposed to wear. There's some folks don't want to come to church because, you know, they don't got no dress clothes. And then, praise God, if you come in without dress clothes, or if a woman come in and wear pants, praise God, folks be looking at them all crazy and cock-eyed and everything else. That's a result of denominationalism. That is not in Scripture. In the book of James, it actually condemns, it actually rebukes those, amen, who treat those with good clothes better than those whose clothes are not up to par, per se, according to everybody else's standards. Amen. Praise God. So we need to get rid of this denominational belief system. Praise God, because it's not like God, and it's keeping folks, stuff like this is actually keeping folks out of the kingdom of God. It's keeping folks out of the kingdom. Amen. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you don't enter into the kingdom. You're not in the kingdom. But you also prevent the others from entering into the kingdom. Praise God. People that might want to enter into the kingdom, praise God, they can't enter into the kingdom because of stuff like this. So in this season, praise God, the Lord is going to begin to cause the apostolic anointing to break these barriers and break this stuff off people. Amen. God ain't called you to be Kojic. He ain't called you to be Baptist. He ain't called you to be Pentecostal. He called you to be a kingdom citizen. Amen. He ain't called you to be all super religious. He called you to be a kingdom citizen. He's calling you to a intimate relationship with him. Praise God. He's calling you to love him. Praise God. He's calling you, praise God, to let you, he's calling you to surrender your all and submit to his lordship so that he can do what he needs to do in your life and do what he needs to do through you. Amen. He ain't calling you to a whole bunch of man-made rules that has no biblical support. Amen. He ain't calling you to dress up in a fish hat and some Catholic robes and walk around with a staff. Amen. That ain't apostolic. That's Catholic. That's religious. Matter of fact, that's paganism. Amen. That fish hat, I can tell you where that fish hat came from. It came from a pagan deity called Dagon. The hat that the Pope wear, Nimrod also wore it too. Amen. There's plenty of statues of Nimrod with that fish hat. Amen. So, this is what people are trying to reduce the apostolic to. Amen. This is what people are trying to reduce the apostolic to. You cannot make apostolic ministry into what you want to make it into. Amen. You cannot make that into what you want to make it to. You just can't do it. Amen. The apostolic anointing destroys denominational theology, denominational thinking, praise God, denominational doctrine, it destroys it. Because God never meant for his people to be divided the way that they are now. Amen. And each one thinks that they have the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 4. I won't go there, but I felt led to go there in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Amen. So apostles hold the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. More, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. An apostle must be faithful. Amen. And what God has entrusted him or her with. Amen. And we're talking about the apostolic lifestyle here. Amen. Because the life of an apostle ain't easy. I'm going to go down to verse 9. I told you I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, for I think God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Amen. So even though apostles are first in the church, amen, most of the time they treat it as last. Why? Because an apostle goes against the grain, and an apostle receives much persecution. If you're not being persecuted, I doubt the fact that you're truly walking in the anointing of an apostle. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. It's trying to get you somewhere. It says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. praise God, but we are dishonored. Amen. It says we are fools for Christ's sake. Amen. Because the stuff that God is having us to speak, to apostolically and prophetically proclaim, praise God, it's against everything that folks doing right now. It's just like the days of Acts. We living it now all over again. Amen. You got these religious sects, and you got these religious folks, and the religious denominations, praise God. Everybody got their own theology, and when the apostles come on the scene and tell you what everything is according to a kingdom perspective, praise God, then the first thing folks do, praise God, is that they start persecuting you. They start persecuting you, telling you that you're false and all that other stuff. Amen. Apostles go against the grain now. Amen. We go against the grain. It's not a glamorous, popular ministry. Amen. It's not a glamorous ministry. Praise God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everything about apostleship deals with suffering and sacrifice, but most of it do. Amen. And all of our suffering is for what? The church. Everything that we endure is for the upbuilding of the church. Remember, he says, you are distinguished, and I'm reading from the New King James. Praise God. It says, you are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Amen. So we give out and we pour out, praise God, and we impart apostolically into the people of God to where they're built up to a place where they're moving and functioning in the kingdom of God, praise God, but still and all. We are dishonored by religious folks, praise God. The number one opposition to the kingdom of God is false religion. Jesus' biggest opposition, and so was the apostles, praise God, was the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Even when the apostles had to face, amen, the government officials, even in the book of Acts, most of the time it was linked to something that the religious demons called the Pharisees did. Amen. It was linked to something that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, the Sanhedrin Council. It was linked to something that they did that caused them to be faced by the government, the Roman government. Amen. So it's always a religious spirit. It's always a religious spirit, praise God, that will oppose the kingdom of God. Amen. And I feel led to go here, too. The apostolic always brings the kingdom. Amen. First of all, you can't even understand the apostolic without first understanding how the kingdom of God operates. Before the 12 disciples was released as apostles, they spent 3.5 years with Jesus learning about the kingdom. Amen. It's amazing how many prophets and apostles are functioning now, praise God, and they don't even understand nothing about the kingdom. All they understand is church. All they understand is religion, praise God. But if you have a kingdom perspective, praise God, the way that you minister, the way that you teach, your demonstration, all that stuff begins to shift. Amen. And God is calling for these apostles and these prophets that's out here now that are truly called by God to shift. Amen. Shift from that religious, denominational, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal, Holiness Baptist Presbyterian mindset, come on now, and begin to shift into the kingdom of God, into a kingdom mindset. Amen. Begin to demonstrate kingdom for real. Amen. You're too denominational. That's not God. Hallelujah. Now, it says, to the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Yes, some of them apostles were homeless. It says, to the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed, beaten. We labor working with our hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat, being made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, until now. Until now, Amen. So those apostles, and some of us may not be going through these things that's present today, that they had back then, presently today, praise God. But apostles, because of the level of warfare that they deal with, it causes a suffering. Amen. It causes a level of suffering. And I know most folks don't like to hear this. You know, they want to hear about houses and cars and money, praise God, and all that has its rightful place. Amen. They want to hear about the good stuff, but you know, they don't want to hear about, praise God, the things that they're gonna suffer. Jesus told Peter, praise God, and he told Paul the things that they will suffer for the kingdom's sake. Amen. A thing about it is, in order to advance the kingdom of God, there has to be a greater death to the flesh, amen, and it has to be sacrifice, amen. You know how many things I done walked away from, praise God, how many folks I done walked away from, amen, because of the call of God upon my life, because God called me to do a specific thing and to be in a certain region, amen, at a certain time frame, and I had to walk away from everything. Praise God. I done left my family before. That's real. And when I left my family, I went to a strange land, a strange place, and did nothing but suffer. I suffered the whole time. Praise God. But it caused me to be where I am today. Amen? It caused me to be where I am today. And because of that, praise God, I'm still going places in God. Amen? So those, and that's just a small tidbit of my testimony, praise God, of how I got to where I am now and still is going, praise God, because none of us had arrived yet, praise God. We always going up in the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is always more. Amen. So an apostolic lifestyle includes warfare and persecution. You're going to go through that. God going to have you to sacrifice stuff. Amen. He's going to tell you to sacrifice some stuff and trust him for the next. Amen. But folks don't want to go through that. You know, they just want the easy way out. That's why most preachers pimp the people. Praise God. They always manipulating certain scriptures for a financial gain and money. Praise God, because they don't want to sacrifice nothing. There's no depth to the flesh. Oh, man, this ain't a popular message, but that's all right. That's all right. Hey, man, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4, actually. 2 Corinthians 4. Let me see. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, my goodness, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness. That means apostles are not manipulative. Praise God, they don't walk in craftiness. They don't have to manipulate scripture and deceive you or use their prophetic or apostolic gift or authority to try to manipulate you and coerce you into something, praise God, that you're not supposed to be coerced in. Amen. Try to get you to do something, praise God, that God is not calling you to do. Amen. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Apostles don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're real for God, it causes a suffering because there's a whole lot of fake out here. Amen. And somebody always trying to conform you to the fake. Everybody always trying to make you think the way that they want you to think. Everybody always trying to say, well, apostle, maybe you should do this or maybe you should do that. Where's that in the word of God? That's not what God told me to do. Amen. So when you're real, amen, it brings upon persecution and suffering because you won't conform to the culture. Amen. Got too many conforming to the culture now. It says, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Amen. Then it talks about even if our gospel be hid, it's hid. Amen. To those that are lost. Amen. Let me see. It says for it is verse 6, I'm going down to verse 6. I told you I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Verse 6, it says, It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Glory of God in the face of Jesus. So that means that we're always in the face of God. We're always seeking the face of God. Amen. We're always listening to the voice of God for direction and insight and revelation. Amen. Our hearts have been illuminated. It's talking about light. Amen. Light in the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Amen. It's certain things, it's certain knowledge that's only revealed to apostles. Amen. Folks don't like to hear that. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. So when the apostle is going forth and performing executing the fruit of their ministry, it is always of God and not of that apostle. If that apostle is always bragging on their ministry and, you know, them and how they do and their ministry, and you know, I'm very iffy about apostles that name ministries after themselves. Amen. I'm very iffy about that. Praise God. Then that apostle is not real if they're always talking about themselves. It says we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Amen. So even though we're going through all this warfare, praise God, we cannot be overtaken. Amen. Yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, remember what I said earlier, when the Apostle Paul is talking about we and our, most of the time he's talking about himself and his fellow apostles. Amen. But just know that if you are sitting under an apostle that has the real fruit of apostolic ministry, then that grace will come upon your life too. Don't mean that you're an apostle, but it means that you'll be apostolic. Amen. It says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. Let me tell you about this. Apostles always are going through a major death to the flesh, always dying to the flesh. He said, I'm always bearing in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're an apostle, but you don't die to the flesh, you don't deny the flesh, but you're walking in the flesh, amen, then you need to start inspecting the fruit of your ministry. Amen. I'm talking about real apostles here. I ain't talking about these Rudy Poohs that be out here now. I'm talking about real apostles. I ain't talking about no Rudy Pooh. Praise God. It says, let me see, verse 11, it says, For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That means we're constantly in a place where we're always dying to the flesh. Amen. There should be no flesh in an apostle. Amen. It should be no flesh in an apostle. It says, for we are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh, so that death is working in us, but life in you. Remember, apostles go through the warfare, the necessary warfare, and they go through the necessary dying to the flesh so that the people of God may be increased in the spirit, praise God, and that they may begin to really experience the life of the kingdom of God. Amen. Apostles go through. Everybody say that they called to be an apostle, praise God, because they think it's a glamorous ministry, but they really don't know what all it takes to be an apostle. It's sacrifice, it's warfare, praise God, it's persecution. If you're not going through that, then you need to check if you called to be an apostle. Amen. It's more to being an apostle than planting churches, and I'm going to touch on that in great detail later, amen. Because like I said, many people have limited the apostolic to just planting churches, amen. Apostleship is more than planting churches, amen. So let me see, amen. It says I'm going to go down. It says, verse 15, it says, for all things are for your sake. He's talking to the church now. The apostle said, all these things are for your sake. So everything that we're going through is for you. Everything that all the real apostles are going through universally is for the body of Christ at large. I ain't talking about your denomination. Praise God. I ain't talking about your different whatever it is that you got going on. Praise God. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ as a whole at large. Amen. You know who the real apostles are because they're going through something right now. Can I say that again? You know who the real apostles are because they're going through something right now. Everybody's suffering ain't the same, praise God, but everybody's suffering something. Amen. If you're not going through spiritual warfare right now, you never don't go through no spiritual warfare, then and if you can't shut that stuff down and cast it down, praise God, then guess what? I ain't saying you're not called or anointed. You're not called or anointed to be an apostle. And if you are called and anointed to be an apostle, it's not for this season. Amen. Everybody's on different levels. It says, for all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, now he said our light affliction, so he's talking about the apostles here. See, even in all of this and all that he was going through, he said it was a light affliction. Amen. Which is, but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Apostles walk in the Spirit 24/7. They're not concerned with what's taking place in the natural. You know, yes, we feel the blows of our suffering. Praise God, we feel the blows the trials of life. Praise God, but we don't make that our focal point. Amen. We don't focus on that, even though it's there. And then we don't focus on that. We focus on the kingdom. Amen. Don't get me wrong. We all have our moments, praise God, where we feel like that we're overwhelmed. We all have that. Praise God. Whether you're an apostle or not, you just going to have that. Amen. You just going to have that all day. Praise God. But still in all, amen, we ought to have enough God in us. We have to have enough Spirit of God in us, govern us. We have to have enough Word in us, praise God, to where it'll override what we're feeling. He said, our outward man is perishing. We're going through all this stuff on the outside, praise God, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. Apostles are Spirit-driven. They're not flesh-driven. They're Spirit-driven. Amen. They're Spirit-driven. They walk in the Spirit 24/7. I'm not saying they're spooky. I'm not saying that they are spooky and mysterious all the time. Amen. Because a lot of people mix up being spiritual and being spooky. But I'm talking about, praise God, having your whole life governed by the Spirit of God. That even when you go through stuff, your inner man and your spirit man will rise up, praise God, and begin to overthrow what you're feeling in the natural. Amen. And that's what a lot of us need to start, you know what I'm saying, getting to, praise God, to where we have so much of God in us. We have so much of Word and so much of God just in our spirit. Amen. That even when we go through stuff in the natural, praise God, that our spirit man will rise up and override what we're feeling in the flesh, amen, and calls us to trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't look at the stuff that's seen. Our focus is on us, on the unseen. Our focus is on the kingdom of God. Amen. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go to chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm gonna start at verse 1. I won't go start here, but I might well start here. It says, "We then, as workers together with Him," talking about God, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. Amen. That's self-explanatory. Amen. It says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. Remember again, Lord, we're going through the suffering thing again. Amen. Patience. Patience is one of the fruits of apostolic ministry, something that the Lord has really been working with me on lately. Amen. Oh, I'm going to be real with you. Amen. Because sometimes when you go through so much, sometimes, praise God, you know, you be like, Lord, when is all this going to end? Lord, when is all this going to be done and over with? Praise God. But patience. You know what I'm saying? That's why, that's what long suffering means, patience. That means we suffer long. Amen. But in the end, it's going to produce such a weight of glory. Amen. That no man has ever seen. Praise God. It says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, and in distresses. Amen. We don't always have everything we need. Amen. It says, in stripes, and imprisonments, and in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness. Amen. How many of y'all apostles ever had a sleepless night before, or had limited rest because of activity in the spirit realm? Sleeplessness. Amen. And in fastings, hold on, let me stop right here for a second. I'm going to tell you something about fasting, okay? I'm going to tell you something about fasting. You can't be an apostle and don't fast. And I ain't talking about the little baby cake fasts either. I ain't talking about them Rudy Pooh fasts where you eat vegetables or whatever the case may be. Praise God. I'm talking about straight fast. If you look up the meaning of the word fast, it means to abstain from food, period. Amen. Well, what about the Daniel fast? The Bible don't say that was a fast. Huh? Hello? The Bible don't say that was a fast. The reason why Daniel did not eat the king's meat, because the king's meat was sacrificed to idols. Look it up. Amen. Amen. I heard somebody call it a Daniel consecration. That might be a better word for it, amen, because it's not a fast. Because when you fast, that means you abstain from food, period. And verses 2, when you're taking that Daniel type of diet, I call it the Daniel diet. Praise God. It's a good way to discipline yourself. Don't get me wrong. It's a good way to discipline yourself. And, you know, God will move on that fast. Well, Lord, I'm calling it a fast now. It's not a fast. God will move. You see how much we've been used to calling that thing a fast? God will move on that, amen, but the Bible does not say that it's a fast. Amen. Real apostles are supposed to be able to fast. I'm talking about straight fasts, no food. Try going 10 days with no food. Hello? Or even more, just seeking God. Amen? I'm talking about a straight fast where you just don't eat nothing. You just own your food. Come on now. You're spending your days seeking the Lord, hearing from him. Praise God. A lot of these apostles out here now can't fast like that. They're not disciplined. They're not disciplined enough to fast like that. Amen? If the shoe fits, wear it. If it hurt, just say ouch, and pray and ask God to help you with that. Amen. Because that's part of the apostolic ministry. You got to be able to fast, man. I ain't talking about no Rudy Pooh fast, no Daniel, what you call a Daniel fast. Praise God. I'm talking about a fast, a real fast. Amen. You can't partially fast. Either you're fasting or you're not. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I know that, you know what I'm saying, some may have health issues or whatever the case may be, because that's the most common thing. Well, I have health issues. I have health this and health that. You know, but as an apostle, there are certain attacks that may come on your body at certain times. Amen. But you ought to be walking in the total healing of God. Amen. As an apostle, you know, don't don't get me wrong, the Apostle Paul had times where he had infirmities of the flesh, amen, as he preached the gospel, but that was because of the warfare that he was experiencing, come on now, that was coming up against him. Amen. It wasn't because something that was necessarily wrong with him. And if you understand anything about spiritual warfare, and as an apostle you should, but if you understand anything about spiritual warfare, some things are sent to afflict the body. Amen. It don't mean there's nothing wrong with you or that you're doing anything wrong or you're eating the wrong stuff. Praise God. It's just that, you know, in the spirit realm and spiritual activity goes on, praise God, it can attack and afflict your body. But amen. You ought to be walking in health and healing. Amen. And, of course, eating the right stuff. Praise God. I ain't saying eat about 20 pork chops and say that the Lord going to heal me. No, use wisdom in what you eat. Praise God. But you ought to be walking in the total health and healing of God. Sickness is not in the covenant. Sickness is not in the will of God. Amen. And if you are an apostle and you got all this stuff wrong with you, praise God, you might need to trust God and go on a fast. Amen. And ask him to restore you. For real. You know? Sickness is not of God. Can I say that again? Sickness is not of God. Amen. And Jesus died on the cross for that. We shouldn't be sick. I know certain stuff come to afflict our body, but it don't stay. It ain't supposed to stay. Amen. It's not supposed to stay. Hallelujah. So an apostle is supposed to be able to fast. Most apostles can't go through straight fasting like that. Well, we ain't gonna say most, but a lot of them that I've come across, they can't go, they can't do no straight fast. You know, anything other than that is not a fast. You can call it a diet. Amen. I know it hurts. Praise God, but the truth is the truth. Impurity, verse 6, impurity by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. All apostles should be able to walk in love. I don't care how great your authority is. You know, I know a lot of times when we teach and we're under that anointing, you know, the authority of God can rise up and stuff like that. But even in God's authoritative tone, he still operates in love. Amen. For real. You know, I've met some apostles, praise God, when they preach, you know, they are such authoritative, praise God, when they teach with authority and everything else, but if you meet them in person, they're some of the most meekest and the most humble folks. Amen. And that's how Apostle Paul was, and that's why a lot of people try to challenge his apostleship and take advantage of him or challenge him in certain areas because of his humility. Amen. But the Apostle Paul said, how do you want me to come this time? Do you want me to come, you know, in humility and love, or you want me to come with a rod? Amen. The Apostle Paul got authoritative when he needed to. Amen. But he had a humble personality. Amen. That's what 2 Corinthians, I believe 2 Corinthians 10 mostly was about. Amen. They even thought the apostles was walking in the flesh. Praise God. That's why he said we don't war or walk after the flesh. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. You got to read that in its proper context. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and by dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. So when you start bringing the mysteries of the kingdom of God, man, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to start calling you all kind of stuff. Amen. Because especially religious folks, because they're not familiar with that. Even though it don't contradict the scriptures, nothing like that, praise God, it's going to be right there. It's going to be right there waiting on you, that persecution. Amen. Because one thing about religious folks, you know, once they believe a certain doctrine, it's hard to get them off of it. The only way they're going to embrace the kingdom of God is if they repent. And that word repent means to change your mindset. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Amen. I love it. I love it. Amen. It says, as unknown and yet well known. Amen. If you're a real apostle, folks going to know you. Amen. Even though they may act like they don't know you, they gonna know you. Amen. Because of the grace of God upon your life. Amen. As dying, and behold, we live. I explained that earlier. As chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Amen. So even though you're going through the greatest warfare, amen, God is going to supernaturally endow you with joy. My God, I'm telling you. Because if you always focus on the bad all the time, focus on the warfare, yeah, time where we need to get up in warfare, but the kingdom of God ain't all about that, praise God. It ain't all about you cutting up devils and exposing witches. Amen. Everything, all that has is rightful place. All that has is rightful place, amen. But that ain't all what the kingdom is about, amen. Jesus died for more than just us cutting up witches, amen. In the spirit, cutting up their works, amen, amen. If you always got to talk about witches and warlocks all the time, then I question the anointed upon your life, amen. You always got to talk about witches all the time. Amen. And you notice most of the time, the ones that talk about it the most, it turns out to be the day one. Hello. Amen. There's a time and a place to address it. I ain't saying don't address it. Praise God, because it needs to be addressed. But at the same time, praise God, all that stuff has a balance, amen, amen. So you got to battle devils every day. Don't get me wrong. Every day is a battle. We die to our flesh daily. Every day is going to be some kind of something. But if it's always overpowering you and overtaking you, and you know you just can't help yourself and contain yourself, and you know you always got to do all this old weird stuff, all that ain't called for, amen. Because when you're walking in the kingdom and you're walking in kingdom authority, amen. It may be able to touch you to a certain degree, but it can't kill you. It can't overtake you. You know, sometimes I just ignore the devil for real. I don't entertain him. Well, let me put it this way. I don't ignore him, but I don't entertain him. I don't ignore him because I know he's there, but I don't entertain him. That means I don't fall into what he do. Amen. That's a better explanation for it. Amen. Praise God. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making rich, amen, as having nothing and yet possessing all things, praise God, hallelujah. So when you're talking about the apostolic lifestyle, amen, there is a level of suffering that you must experience, amen. And like I said, everybody's suffering is different. Praise God, everybody's suffering is not the same. Hallelujah. But understand this, that all apostles suffer greatly for the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the apostles had to learn to rejoice and be at peace even in the times of their greatest trouble. For real. So now that we've established the difference between being apostolic and being an apostle, and when you're an apostle, you live that apostolic lifestyle. Amen. You're going to have some joy, praise God, but you're going to experience great suffering. That's why it's only certain demons that an apostle can deal with. Amen. See, the thing about it is everybody has different levels of authority. All of us in the kingdom of God, we have authority. Amen. We have authority to be able to overcome the enemy. We have certain graces upon our lives. Amen. But everybody's authority is not the same. I'm going to say that again. Everybody's authority is not the same. Amen. Whoever your senior leader is, you know, the Lord placed you under their care because of the calling and the grace upon their life and the authority that God has given them. God is not going to place you under somebody who you're over in the spirit. That don't make no sense. And there's a lot of people that's in church there's a lot of people in ministry that's going through that right now. That's why in the ministry you're not growing. That's why you got to go to all these outside sources, praise God, to help you deal with spiritual stuff. Praise God. God ain't calling you to sit under somebody who you're over. I'm talking about in the spirit now. Praise God. I'm just saying, it's true. Some of y'all may think it don't matter, that all that ain't called for, and you shouldn't be teaching about that, or you shouldn't say that. The devil is a lie. I'm going to say it because it's true. Amen. Now, let's establish this fact here, okay? There are different types of apostles. I want to get on this. I want to touch on this. There are different types of apostles. Amen. All apostles are not the same. All apostles are not called to the same folks. All apostles are not sent to do the same thing. Amen. For real. You know, like I said, we just limit the apostolic just to church. Amen. We have such a carnal, churchy, religious perspective on what we think apostolic ministry really is. Amen. And this is something that God has been dealing with me with for the last few weeks. Amen. And I'm getting ready to touch on this right now. Amen. There are different types of apostles. Amen. The first one I want to deal with is there is a such thing as prophetic apostles. Okay. You know, understand this, that, you know, every apostle should be familiar with the prophetic and operate in the prophetic to a degree, you know, some more than others. But every apostle should be familiar with the prophetic. Why? Because the apostle and the prophet is the foundation of the household of God. So these are two ministries that work closely hand in hand together. Amen? They work closely hand in hand together. So every apostle should be familiar with the prophetic. Amen? And there are a such thing as prophetic apostles. I'll give you an example of two prophetic apostles, and I'm going to tell you why they're prophetic apostles. Amen. You have Barnabas and you have John, okay? Now, first of all, in a prophetic apostle, these are apostles who operate heavily in the prophetic. That means that they have all the fruits of apostolic ministry, and they have all the fruits of the prophetic ministry as well. Amen. Now, let's read Acts 11, I'm going to go to Acts 11, amen, I'm going to start at verse 22, amen, and it says, the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. Now, notice that, you know, the Bible talks about prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort too. Amen. The King James, the regular King James Version says that he exhorted them. Amen. And the word exhortation can mean to encourage or to stir some folks up or to even warn. Amen. So it's not just talking about encouragement per se. Amen. But it's not limited to, but can include encouragement. Hallelujah. All right. So it says he encouraged them all that were a purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. for he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and the faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. Amen. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, as they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay? All right. So understand that, first of all, the Antioch church was the result of persecution, it was a result of persecution of the Jerusalem church that caused the early church believers to spread out, and I explained this earlier. And they did some evangelistic type work, praise God, and different assemblies were established. Amen. Different assemblies were established here, praise God. And so the Church of Antioch was one of the assemblies that was established as a result of the persecution of the early believers. Amen. So the apostles sent Barnabas, right, who clearly we see here was operating in the prophetic at that time. Amen. He was operating as a prophet at that time, and he had the prophetic, but he noticed that there was some teaching that was needed, you know, because there's a such thing as teaching prophets, amen, and then every prophet is supposed to be able to teach, but not every prophet has that strong dimension of teaching, praise God, that's needed, amen. There's different types of apostles, amen, and there's different types of prophets as well, amen. The same thing can go for the prophets, praise God. So that's why he went and he gathered, Saul, amen, who later became Paul. We all know Saul and Paul, praise God. So he was clearly functioning as a prophet, but then later on, amen, later on in Acts 13, him and Paul both was released as apostles. Amen. So now we see also, praise God, and see, okay, Silas, Acts 15, verse 32, and it says here that Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words, right? Now, the Bible describes Silas as a prophet, but then later on, he became an apostle. And you can find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, praise God, where it describes Paul, Timothy, and Silas. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it confirms that all three of them were apostles. Amen. Matter of fact, let me go there. Let me go there real quick. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter, where we see Paul, Silas, and Timothy in chapter 1, verse 1, praise God, and 2, that they was addressing the people of God. And then chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, praise God, it confirms that they were apostles. Remember, okay, I'm going to start at verse 4 on chapter 2. It says, but as we, remember I told you about that word we again, have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So apostles are trusted with the gospel. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom. They're entrusted with the gospel. Amen. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might make demands as apostles of Christ. So it shows that all three of these men were apostles. Amen. is proof that all three of these men are apostles. Amen. I hope you all are following me. But you see how Silas started off as a prophet. Amen. And best believe he did not lose his prophetic gift when he entered into his apostleship. Amen. And then let's talk about the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation. Now, the Bible clearly says that he's an apostle, but if you read the book of Revelation, it is very prophetic. It is, matter of fact, is probably the most prophetic book in the Bible. Amen. It's probably one of the most prophetic books in the Bible. Amen. But he was an apostle, but he had a strong prophetic grace and mantle and anointing upon his life. Amen. Matter of fact, he's the perfect example of what a prophetic apostle is, because they have all the fruits of the apostolic and they have all the fruits of the prophetic. Amen. Don't get me wrong, all apostles are supposed to be able to prophesy and function prophetically, but there are certain ones, amen, that walks in the mantle, in the full grace of a prophet as well as an apostle. Prophetic apostle. Amen. Now, a lot of times people get mixed up whether they are a prophetic apostle or an apostolic prophet, because nowadays everybody's trying to be an apostle. Everybody wants to be an apostle now. At first, everybody used to want to be a prophet. Now everybody want to be an apostle. Amen. If somebody prophesies to you and say that you have an apostolic anointing upon your life, but you're a prophet, that does not mean that you're called to be an apostle. Amen. It does not mean that you're called to be an apostle. Amen. Like I said earlier, you can have that apostolic grace but still function in the ministry of the prophet, but you just move apostolically. Either you're called to be a senior prophet, or the Lord may have you to establish, amen, a ministry, or he might call you to be over a ministry, praise God, but that don't mean that you're called to be an apostle, because the church in Antioch was ran by prophets too. Amen? It was ran by prophets and teachers. Amen? So being the senior leader over a ministry is always an apostolic and a prophetic function. That's it. Amen? It's always an apostolic and a prophetic function to be a senior leader. Amen. It's all throughout Scripture. Amen. Now, so we know what a prophetic apostle is. We have biblical examples. Amen. Let's talk about teaching apostles for a second. Amen. We all know that the Apostle Paul said that he was a teacher. Amen. Acts 13 and 1 says that, you know, he was amongst the prophets and the teachers. Amen. And also in 1 Timothy 2:7. Let me see. It says here. It says, "For which I was appointed a preacher and apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth." So he declares himself to be an apostle and a teacher here. Amen. Don't get me wrong. The apostle Paul prophesied. Praise God, but his prophetic wasn't as strong as the Apostle John's. Amen. Now, you see the Apostle Paul's teaching anointing really, really, really come out in his epistles as he instructs the people of God how to conduct themselves, praise God, how to structure the church, praise God, and even the mysteries of Christ that was revealed to him, praise God, he was able to teach and instruct, amen, the early believers in such things. Amen. Amen. His teaching ability came out in his epistles. To wisely instruct, amen, the leaders in the churches concerning the ways and the mysteries of Christ. Now, these teaching apostles, these types of apostles have such insight, revelation, and wisdom into the Word of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. They make the kingdom mysteries understandable, and they make the wisdom of God practical. Amen. We don't have enough teaching apostles out here. Amen. Everybody want to prophesy, and everybody want to do this and do that, but we need some teaching apostles. Amen. amen, who have that strong grace and strong anointing to teach. And every apostle should be able to teach, but you have some apostles, amen, that are very, very, very strong and gifted in that area of teaching, amen. These apostles have the grace to really start ministry schools, amen. Ministry schools, they really have that grace to, you know, really begin ministry school and begin to instruct, you know, God's people concerning the things of the Spirit and the things of the kingdom. Amen. So, you know that all apostles are not the same. Amen. All of us are not the same. Amen. All of us have different graces upon our lives. Amen. That's what makes us so unique. Amen. Now you have what we call evangelistic type of apostles. Amen. Let me see. You go to 2 Timothy 4 and 5. 2 Timothy 4 and 5. It says here, but you be watchful in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, this is the Apostle Paul instructing Timothy, who's also an apostle, and who the Bible also says that he's an apostle. Amen. And that's also confirmed in the scriptures I read before in 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 and 2, and 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6. Amen. The apostle Timothy was charged to do to still do the work of his previous ministry, which was evangelism. Amen. Hallelujah. These types of apostles really should see more souls saved than any other apostle. I'm gonna give you a modern day example, Benny Hinn. Amen. Now, anybody who have any kind of kingdom discernment know Benny Hinn is an apostle. Praise God. Everybody know that Benny Hinn is an apostle, but his heart is for what? Souls, right? Regardless of what y'all feel about Benny Hinn or whatever, you know, God is still using him. So y'all can just hang that up for Christmas. Praise God. Regardless of what you feel about Benny Hinn, the man's still in ministry, the man's still laying hands on the sick, and folks still being healed. So you can only say but so much. Amen. And that's crazy how folks want to criticize healing and deliverance ministry when they're not operating in it themselves. Amen. When you're not operating in it yourself, you can't criticize nothing you're not operating in. And some folks criticize something because they're not operating in themselves. Amen. So anyway, regardless of how you feel about Benny Hinn, he is an apostle. But he has an he is a type of evangelistic apostle. Why? Because his heart is for souls. Amen. His heart is for souls. That's where his heart is at. That's why he's going to all these different countries and winning all these folks to the Lord. Amen. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So now, praise God, we see that there is a such thing as evangelistic type of apostles. Amen. Now, I want to get into pastoral type of apostles. Amen. And I'll give you the scripture reference real quick. In John 21, 15 through 17, you'll notice that after Christ died and rose, he came to Peter and said, Peter, feed my sheep, right? Now, Peter is an apostle, but he said, feed my sheep, right? The Bible clearly states that Peter is an apostle, okay? But Jesus comes to him and tells him to feed the sheep, right? He said, feed the sheep. Now, a shepherd is a person who leads and feeds sheep. You look up the definition of the word pastor, it means shepherd or herder of sheep or someone who tends the sheep. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Amen. And you know that goes to show where Peter's heart was at. Amen. Peter was a shepherding apostle. Amen. So just like the Apostle Paul urged Timothy to do the work of evangelism, Jesus urged the Apostle Peter to do the work of shepherding or pastoring his people. Amen. Hallelujah. So, even in 1 Peter 5, he wrote to the elders, and he also called himself an elder. An elder is nothing more than a pastor. Bishop, pastor, elder, same function. Matter of fact, the word bishop wasn't even in the original translation of the scripture, so you can X that out. Amen. Elder was another word for pastor. Amen. Elder was another word for pastor. That's it. All right? So, and some translations even translate the word elder as pastor. So, elder, pastor, bishop, same function. The bishop not over the pastors, and the pastor not over the elders, because they all the same function. They are the same thing, same function, same authority. It's proven through history, and even when you look up the definition and see the types of functions of what an elder is supposed to do, what a bishop and a pastor is supposed to do, you will see that it is the same function, okay? I don't got time to go into too much details of it, praise God, but I mean, I'll recommend a good book for you to get on this subject, and it's called Apostles or Bishops by Apostle John Eckhart. It'll give you greater, even more detail on it, praise God. It'll give you greater detail on it, praise God, because this is something that is very confused in the body of Christ, amen. It's something that's very, very confused, amen. So, amen. That's a good reading for you. Amen. If you want to learn more about what the difference is between an apostle and a pastor, amen. So these types of apostles, shepherding apostles, are really most of the time they're stationary. Their heart is for the people of God that's coming in. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what they call, that's where their heart is at, amen. Most of the time, they are stationary, but they still have the fruits of apostolic ministry. You know, not saying that they can't go nowhere, that they don't go nowhere, praise God, but their heart is back at home with the flock. Amen. That's what you call a shepherding apostle. They're stationary. Even the Apostle James, amen, he was most of the time stationary in Jerusalem. And so was Peter. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here that all apostles are not the same. And I'm really about to say something that's going to blow your mind too. All apostles don't have to be pastors. I bet you some of y'all are quiet now. I got you all muted on the lines and in the chat room. I bet you was amen and up until this point. Amen. All apostles don't have to be pastors. Amen. Just because you're an apostle don't mean that you're supposed to be a pastor of a local church. Amen. All them apostles that's mentioned throughout Scripture, show me where each and every one of them pastored a church, and I will hang this phone up and cut this line off right now. Amen. For real. See, we limit the apostolic ministry to just church. Apostolic ministry is an anointing from God. It's a commissioning from God. Amen. We just limit it to church. Well, apostles are people that plant churches. Not all the time. Amen. Apostle Paul plant churches. Yeah, but not all of them apostles mentioned in Scripture plant churches. There are some apostles. I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul said, I plant and Apollos waters. Not all apostles plant, praise God. You have some that just water. Amen. There are some apostles that just water. Amen. Apollos built upon what Paul had established. He said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. Who is Apollos and who is Paul except ministers of Christ? Amen. It don't make the one no greater than the other one. Praise God. It says that everybody's not graced to do the same thing. Amen. You have some apostles that have some apostles that don't plant. You have some apostles that do plant. You have some apostles that water. And then you have some apostles that are planted. Timothy and Titus were apostles that was planted. Paul told Titus, hey, I left you in Crete that you set some order. That's an apostolic function. Huh? He had to set the eldership in place, the pastoral ministry in place for the people. Huh? See, this is a part of apostolic ministry that's ignored and that people don't know nothing about because, see, we limit apostles to planting churches. Praise God. You have some folks that actually have apostleship calls on their life, but they don't feel the grace from God to plant churches all over the world and have all these churches and all these things, praise God. You can't limit apostolic ministry to just that. Praise God. For real. We need to stop doing that. Amen. We need to stop doing that for real. Because the apostolic ministry, I'm going to tell you something. Apostolic and prophetic ministry is the only ministries out of the fivefold ministry that are diverse. See, the pastor's ministry is already set. They call to the people of God, and that's it. Uh-huh. They call to the people of God that comes into the body. They're called to maintain what the apostle has already established. Hello. You have the evangelists, praise God, who go out there and they win souls. That's their only ministry. They are called to the lost, and that's it. Amen. A lot of people think that a traveling preacher is an evangelist. No, an evangelist is somebody who's called to the lost, period. So if you have the title of evangelist and you don't have a heart for the lost, then you either need God to change your heart or you need to reevaluate your call because you're not operating in the right function or the right call. Hello, teachers. They're already set, praise God, because they're called to teach. They're called to teach the people of God and teach the church of God the mysteries of God and instruct them in the ways of God. Give them that foundation. Make sure that they are grounded in the truth. Amen. Make sure that they are grounded in what the apostle has set for the house. Hello. But the apostle and the prophet have such a diversity, amen. They're different types of apostles, just like the different types of prophets, amen. You have prophets, amen, who are apostolic, what I call apostolic prophets. I explained that earlier. These are either prophets that are set over ministries, praise God, or they're senior prophets in a ministry, amen. You actually have some prophets, amen, who have a heart for evangelism, amen, but they walk in the prophetic, amen, and then you have a shepherding prophets, amen, prophets who are set in ministries, praise God, but they have a heart for the people of God and to be compassionate and to help them grow and to nurture and mature them, but they still have the fruit and the ministry of a prophet. And then you have teaching prophets. Amen. You have teaching prophets who are prophets who have a great anointing in the area of teaching. Amen. Prophets and apostles are the only two ministries out of the fivefold ministry whose ministries are diverse like that. All the other ministry gifts are set. Amen. Ah, Jesus. And people don't think that this is important, but it is. Amen. This is very important because if you're going to be in ministry, you got to know what area of ministry that you're called to. If you're an apostle, who are you sent to? See, I have a clear understanding of my assignment. See, a lot of apostles think that you know, all apostles are not called to just plant churches all over the place. Praise God. You have to know where you're sent to. All apostles are not sent to do the same thing. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Even one of them ministered with Apostle Paul ministered to Jews as well as to Gentiles. But he knew he was commissioned to the Gentiles. Amen. Matter of fact, Peter was the first one to minister to the Gentiles. But then he became the apostle to the Jews. Hello? So we're all called to, we all have the ability as apostolic and prophetic people, amen, to minister to people from all walks of life. But you got to know what God has commissioned you to do and what he sent you to. Apostle Paul ministered to some Jews, praise God, but he stuck with his ministry to the Gentiles. That's where his greatest authority lied in. Amen. In the place of your assignment, that's where the authority of God upon your life is demonstrated the most and the greatest. Amen. Everybody's not sick. When Jesus first sent out the 12, he told them, he said, look, don't go into the way of the Gentiles. Go to the Jews first. Huh? See, as an apostle, you got to know where you're sent to and who you're called to. Amen. You got to know where you're sent and who you're called to. Because everybody ain't called to the same thing. Prophets, everybody ain't called to the same thing. And all throughout Scripture, you have prophets that was sent to kings, amen. There are certain apostolic and prophetic people that sent to the political arena, amen. I heard about Kimberly Daniels and how she had got elected as a city councilwoman or something like that, amen. You have certain, and she's an apostle, amen. You have certain apostles and certain prophets that are sent to political that are called to political arenas, amen. You have certain apostolic and prophetic people, amen, that's called to maintain the house of God. Amen. You have certain apostolic and prophetic people that's called to take their apostolic and their prophetic authority and their mantle and the kingdom authority that has been given to them, praise God, take it into a business, take it into media and entertainment, and flip it upside down for the kingdom of God and make those demon spirits that's governing those different veins of society, make them subject, come on now, to the rulership of the kingdom of God and to the lordship of Jesus Christ that is also ruling in your life. Hello. Come on now. Amen. We can't be no Rudy Pools about this. Amen. This is real. Amen. I have a clear understanding of what my assignment is. And what I'm noticing is that a lot of apostles don't have an understanding of their assignment in the earth. Amen. That's why they're not effective. I don't care how many churches that you have, praise God, how many churches that you planted, praise God. If you're not called to plant churches, praise God, you're not going to be effective in it. Your churches that you planted are supposed to transform the city. Something wrong if it ain't transforming the city. Amen. I tell folks all the time, I'm not called the pastor. Hello. I'm not called the pastor. And see, that's the thing. We've made the pastor to be the set man or the set woman of the house. Amen. And that's not even their grace. That's why most of these churches are not effective. Amen. We've made pastor to be the set man of the house. When it wasn't even so in Scripture. Amen. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says God is set first in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. Now, if you look up that word first, in the Greek it's the word proton, meaning first in priority, first in rank, and first in authority. So you're talking about rankings here. So Ephesians 4:11 is not even listed in the right order, amen, but it lists all the ministry gifts. Apostle, prophet, teacher. That's how the leadership goes. And then evangelist and pastor on the same level. Same page. And see, speaking of evangelist and pastor, this is very important because a lot of people who are called to evangelism or who are called to be pastors, they get their call mixed up. Because, see, both callings are called to people. Their ministry is solely to people. Amen. And they're called to, one is called to make converts, and the other one is called to nurture and raise up converts. Amen. So these two very important and vital ministry gifts are called, amen, nurture and to raise up the people of God, but in different capacities. Amen. You have most people that are pastors that are really called to be evangelists. Amen. You have most people, and see, some folks, I even look on Facebook, some folks don't know which one they call to, so they say pastor, evangelist, so-and-so. I'm just evangelist, pastor, so-and-so. Amen. How you going to be an evangelist and a pastor at the same time? You see, so you got to know what your call is. A lot of them don't know, so they just say they evangelist, pastor. Hallelujah. See, you have to have an accurate understanding of your call. Are you called to go out there and get them, or are you called to nurture the ones that's been got? Which one? See, this is what you have to know, because the reason why a lot of people are not effective in their ministry is because they don't know what they're called to do. Amen. And another thing, too, stop letting folks and leaders label you something that you're not. They can call you rebellious or whatever the case may be. Amen. You have to buck up the leadership. Amen. But you don't have to accept something that you know that you're not called to be. Amen. Here you are sitting there called to be a prophet. Amen. But you have somebody labeling you as evangelist or minister. That is such an insult to your call. Praise God. Your church don't embrace the prophetic. Get out. Get out if they don't embrace the prophetic. Amen. If the Lord is telling you that it's your time to be raised up, praise God, then you need to be set under the right type of leadership. And I ain't just talking about, you know, rebelling against leadership. And, you know, if you're rebellious, you need to sit. Okay? If you're rebellious, you need to sit for a while and get disciplined if you're rebellious. And you know if you're rebellious or not. Amen. You know it. Some folks rebellious against leadership. I'm not saying to rebel against leadership, but you don't have to accept something that you're not. Amen. You don't let folks label you with stuff. And if you don't know what your call is, don't let nobody label you as nothing. You seek God. Some of you need to fast and pray. I'm talking about turn your plate. Some of you need to turn your plate down for a couple of days. Fast and pray, drink some water. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you need to fast for a couple of days. A couple means two. I just heard couple. You need to fast for a couple of days. Turn your plate down, drink nothing but water, and seek God. Seek God in prayer. Get in that word. Get in that worship music. Come on now. And seek God. Seek the face of God. Come on now, get yourself up early in the morning, amen, because you can't be prophetic in anything and not get up early in the morning, amen. Get up early in the morning, amen, seek the face of God, die to that flesh, and hear from God as to what area of ministry that he's called you to be in. Amen. For real. And I hear that in the Holy Ghost for some folks that's listening now. Amen. You got to know what you're called to. Stop letting folks label you something that you're not. Seko tababahasi. Well, glory. Jesus. Felt that. Amen. But I said I was going to touch on this, praise God, and this is something that we need to understand and respect. Amen. This is something that we need to understand and respect, that revelation, divine, apostles flow on divine revelation, so do prophets. Amen. Revelation comes from the apostolic and the prophetic ministry. Amen. Revelation comes from the apostolic and the prophetic ministry. Amen. You can't say that you are a prophet. You can't say that you are an apostle and don't flow in revelation. Amen. revelation. You can't say that you are an apostle or a prophet and don't flow in revelation. Matter of fact, these are the only two ministry gifts mentioned in Scripture that flow in divine revelation. Amen. Don't get me wrong. You know, if you are, don't get me wrong, that same grace can be upon your life as a believer or another ministry gift. Praise God. But understand this, that oil must come from the top, meaning the apostolic and the prophetic. That's the way God made it. I didn't make it that way. He made it that way. It's in the Word of God, and all of us just need to be happy with it. Amen. Apostles flow in divine revelation. Amen. Scriptures always talk about how revelation always came through to the apostles and the prophets. Amen. According to Scripture, revelation can only come through apostles and prophets. Even though evangelists, pastors, and teachers are leaders in the church, God will not give them revelation to build. Amen. That kingdom meeting, that kingdom revelation is coming to build. Amen. He don't necessarily give it to the other ministry gifts. Not saying that they're better than the other ministry gifts. Because Lord knows, if you don't have evangelists and pastors and teachers in a ministry, you just have apostles and prophets, that can tear a ministry up, I'm telling you. That can tear a ministry up. I've seen it. You have a church full of nothing but apostles and prophets and no evangelists, no pastors and teachers, that will tear up a ministry. Amen. It will. But understand this, that revelation to build comes through the apostolic and the prophetic ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew 16, 13 through 18, you know, it talks about, you know, that's when Jesus told Peter that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, right? A lot of people think that the church was built upon Peter. The church was not built upon Peter, amen, but it was built upon the revelation Peter had as Jesus being the Christ, amen. And the rock symbolizes foundation. The foundation of your walk and the foundation of the church should be that of Jesus being the Christ. Amen? Jesus being the Christ. Now Peter as an apostle got that revelation. Amen? Hallelujah. All revelation, praise God, must come from the apostolic and the prophetic grace. Old Testament was written by prophets. New Testament was written by apostles. The Bible came by a revelation that was given to apostles and prophets. The whole Bible, the Bible in which you read, the Bible in which you and I read, came by a revelation of apostles and prophets. Amen? God chose to give the revelation of concerning himself and his church to the apostles and the prophets. He chose it that way, amen? All revelation from the head down must be influenced by apostles and prophets. So even if that grace is imparted to the people of God, it must come from that apostolic and that prophetic oil, amen, that flows from the head down. Amen. I'm closing up here. Praise God. I pray that you all really learned something today. Amen. I pray that I help somebody, because I sure was helping myself. Lord knows. Jesus, I was helping myself today. Amen. But it's very important that we get this, because we understand our ministries, or else we're going to continue to be ineffective. Many people who are called to apostolic and prophetic ministry, they have great calls of God upon their life, but they don't understand their call. They don't understand their commissioning, what they're commissioned to do. Amen. You're an apostle, but you're trying to plant churches, and God ain't called you to plant churches. Amen. Amen. You're an apostle. Amen. and you're trying to do this area of ministry, but he might call you to plant churches. Praise God. You have to understand your calling and what he's commissioned you to do. All apostles don't plant. All apostles, some apostles build upon what's already been planted. Some apostles don't plant at all. Some apostles are planted. Amen. You see, all apostles are not called to be pastors. You can. It's hard to be a pastor and an apostle unless you have that. Unless you are a pastoral type of apostle. Amen. Like James or like Peter, who had the grace to operate. That their heart was in the area of shepherding, but they still had the fruit of apostolic ministry. Amen. I tell everybody all the time, I'm not called to be no pastor. Amen. I'm an apostle and a prophet. Amen. And I operate in an area of teaching. Amen. I operate in a teaching anointing too. Praise God. But the main ministry gifts that I flow in the most is apostle and prophet. That's it. See, we try to say all the time that apostles have to flow in all the gifts. Apostles have to flow. Show me that in Scripture where every apostle flowed in all five gifts. You can't support that in Scripture. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Apostle Paul, he may have prophesied, praise God, but you see his teaching anointing all throughout the Scriptures. As verses 2, the Apostle John, you see his prophetic all through the book of Revelation. Amen. The Apostle Paul had a strong revelatory teaching anointing. Amen. But you notice that, see, the Apostle John was prophetic. Amen. So his stuff deals with deep stuff concerning the future, symbolism, all that kind of stuff. His stuff is dealt with prophecy and prophetic stuff that was for the future. Amen. But at verse 2, the Apostle Paul was more so of a revelatory type teacher. Amen. See, the Apostle Paul's revelation that he got. Amen. From the heavens concerning things, even of the kingdom of God. Amen. It could be applied to that present time. But as verses 2, the Apostle John, amen, his revelation was for the future. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, his revelation could be applied for that present time. Amen. I pray that you all understood what I just said. There's a difference between being revelatory and being prophetic. People don't know that. Amen. They don't have an understanding of the anointing and the different types of the anointing and how the anointing can flow at certain times. They don't have an understanding of the gifts or nothing. Amen. You can't be effective like that. Amen. So I pray that I really help somebody today. Praise God. I see that Apostle Hill is in the chat room. God bless you. That's my apostolic father, y'all. Apostle Hill, Lamont Hill, God bless you. I'm glad to see that you in the chat room. Amen. He was kind of cheering me on a little bit. I see Pastor Jackie. Pastor Jackie's in the chat room. God bless you, too. We have some folks on the line, too. We got a caller from Georgia, California, Louisiana, Virginia, my home state, South Texas, and we have Chosen for this, who's a regular. Amen. I'm getting ready to unmute these lines at this time. Amen. I'm getting ready to unmute the lines at this time. Praise God. Amen. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you all on the line. Praise God. Who's that caller from Louisiana? I want to know who that caller is from Louisiana. Who's that caller from Louisiana? If you want to announce yourself, if you don't, that's fine. Amen. God bless you. Glad to have you on. Amen. We got a caller from Georgia. Who that is from Georgia? Amen. Don't everybody speak up at one time. I know all y'all.
I'm sorry, Pastor Blair. I was muted on my phone, and I was just talking to you. But I'm sorry. This is Elder Evans from Georgia.
Who is that again?
Elder Evans from Georgia.
Okay. God bless you. God bless you. It's a pleasure to have you on. No, normally near the end, I just try to acknowledge everybody, you know. And you said your name was Elder Evans?
Right.
Okay,
correct.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's a pleasure to have you on. I am feeling something in my spirit for you as well, a word of the Lord. I hear the word upgrade for you.
Amen.
There's an upgrade prophetically, and wow, the anointing just dropped on me just like that. I feel a prophetic upgrade for you.
Hallelujah.
For real. Where the Lord is going to begin to even cause you to walk greatly in prophetic dimensions.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. And also, too, personally, there's some personal things that have been going on with you lately, but God is getting ready to work that out for you, too, as well. And I see you kind of like relocating. I don't know if it's to another place, another home, another church, or I just see relocation for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I just see relocation for you. I don't know where the Lord is placing you in this season.
Thank
but wherever he relocates you to, you're called to, that particular region, I hear the Lord say, region,
Amen.
Region. So it must be a physical relocation because I just heard the word region. Praise
Amen.
God. The Lord is going to begin to deal with you concerning that as well. Your assignment is great, I hear the Lord say. I'm seeing where some things have been held up for you, and I'm seeing also where your ministry have been stifled in some areas.
Amen.
It's like it's some things that the Lord has given you to do, some things that he has urged you and commissioned you to do, but you're not able to operate fully in the capacity that the Lord has called you to operate in, because I'm just seeing like some it's like some religious limitations is trying to be put on you, I hear the Lord say. It's some religious limitations that's been trying to be put on you, but in this season, the Lord is breaking it off for you, too. And once these limitations begin to be broken in the spirit realm, and I see some things of being released from you and from your life even now as I speak, even when these things begin to be released, your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to have such a strong kingdom perception and perspective. Amen. And it's like your spirit man is getting tired and weary of the same old thing, and stuff not being effective, and stuff not moving, and stuff not going the way that you know that it's supposed to go. But God said that he's releasing you in this season to function in the full capacity in which he has called you to function in.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I'm telling you something. And once you move, my God, the things that was shut up in your face, and the doors that was closed, amen, those doors that were supposed to be open but they remain closed, those doors are going to open. I'm even seeing certain financial doors that are supposed to be open to you, but because you've been stifled, you know, these doors have not been opened, but because of the prayers and the cries of your heart, God said that he's moving on your behalf in this season, and even those folks that you've been praying for, even unsaved relatives and folks that you know that's supposed to be moving in the things of God, even in this season, praise God, and stuff have not been moved, watch how stuff changes as soon as you move.
Dear Lord Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God.
And I don't know why too, but I'm seeing a particular male. I don't know if this is somebody you've been praying for, or this might be your husband, or I don't know what it is, but I'm seeing a particular male that you've been kind of concerned for too. But the Lord says, don't concern yourself with that, because their total restoration. I hear the word restoration. Their total restoration and deliverance is in your obedience.
Amen.
So when the Lord gives you that instruction, you go.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Ah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus. And my God, too. Jesus. I break everything off of your life, every word curse that's been spoken. My God. Jesus. I break it off of your life in Jesus' name. I break it off of your house. I break it off of your finances in Jesus' name. I break it off of your mind in Jesus' name, that you may be able to think clearly and to hear clearly from the Lord without all that confusion in Jesus' name. And I command an upgrade in your spirit, man, right now in Jesus' name. And I command your spirit, man, to be awakened to the things of the kingdom, to the things of God right now in Jesus' name. I break everything, every negative word that's been spoken over your life.
Hallelujah.
I break it. I break it in Jesus' name. No weapon that's formed against you will be able to prosper in this season.
Okay, shit. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, woman of God, you be encouraged. You know, many people think that, you know, you can't be no further than where you are, but you about to shock a whole lot of folks here.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Just trust God and obey his voice here. I don't care how foolish you sound, trust God and obey him. In this season, God is requiring extreme obedience. A lot of people use that kind of like cliche-ish a little bit, but extreme obedience in this season, that means that whatever God tell you to do, when he tell you to move, you move. When he tell you to speak, you speak. When he tell you to do, you do it. Here?
Amen. Amen. God, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to know who that call is from Louisiana.
That's your best friend, Anwar.
Oh, man, what's up, man? What's going on with you?
I tried to unmute the phone when you asked me earlier, but I couldn't, so I just waited till you finished with your sister from Georgia. So that's me from Louisiana.
All right, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. Yeah, man, but wow. The Lord, wow.
Mm. I really enjoyed it. Everything was confirmation. I really enjoyed it.
There is coming a major shift for you as well. I know, you know, you've been enduring a lot in this season.
Right.
And the enemy has tried to cause you to draw back, and he's tried to cause you to go back, you know, and he's tried to pull you back and pull you down and mess with your mind and all this other stuff. But I just see such a liberty that's coming over you in this season. It's going to be such a liberty and such a deliverance that's just been to hit your life, man. Stuff that has just been held up and stuff that has just been trying to oppress you and pressure you and on every side. I just see all that being broken in this season, because see, you have a special mandate upon your life, and I'm not telling you something that you already don't know. But the Lord is finna bring clarity to some things too concerning your call and concerning your life in general. God said he's finna bring some clarity in a whole lot of areas that need to be clarified in. You know, because the enemy is trying to cause uncertainty, confusion, doubt, and all this other stuff. And I'm only sensing this by the Spirit of God. But in this season, God said he's going to bring clarity to you, and he's going to begin to position you in the right place at the right time, so that you can really grow in your prophetic call and anointing. Amen. So you know, and the Lord says too that even those giftings that he's placed on the inside of you, my God, they've been suppressed, but in this season they're going to be magnified. They're going to be magnified in this season. So you know, your gifting is going to make room for you. Amen. And it's going to bring you before great people.
Amen.
That's what the Lord says to you. Amen. That's your word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We have a caller from California. Who that caller from California? Amen. Caller from California. Amen. I'm feeling a little prophetic tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, a caller from California, God bless you. Amen. Pray that you was informed and edified and built up, amen, tonight. Praise God. Let me see. Who's that from South Texas? Amen.
This is Rosa Deanda.
Rosa who?
Deanda.
Okay, and how did you hear about the talk show tonight?
I've been watching you on Facebook for a while.
Okay. All right. Somebody got some extra background noise in the back. I think I'm going to have to mute you. And while I think it's you.
Yeah, that's me. I'm at the beauty salon.
Oh, okay. The Lord says too that I just heard the word great faith for you. This is a season of great faith. The enemy has tried to cause, you know, doubt in certain areas concerning what the Lord has called you to do. You know, what he's commissioned you to do. Sometimes when we go through different things and we experience certain things and we see certain things, you know, it causes sometimes a wondering or a doubt, like, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to do, or is that what I'm supposed to do instead of this, you know? But the Lord also is going to bring clarity to you in this season as well, amen. The Lord is going to begin to bring clarity to you in this season too, and those things from people that is not for you, the Lord is going to begin to expose it to you as well. And there's coming such a it's like such a purity is finna hit you in this season, amen. Such a purity is just gonna flow forth from your spirit, even when you begin to speak prophetically to the people of God, amen. Because you have the gift of the gifting of the prophetic as well, amen. It's just such a purity that's gonna flow out of your spirit, amen. And it's like, honestly, it's like I see the Lord supernaturally giving you revelation and wisdom too, concerning coming things as well. There's certain things that are coming that the Lord desires to show you as well. There's certain things that needs to be spoken in the earth realm that God is going to give you to speak in the earth, because the Bible says that, you know, God does nothing unless he reveals it to a prophet first. So the prophetic always, you know, goes before what God is about to do. Amen. And there's some things that's already in your heart and with some things that he's already shown you, amen, that is shortly to come to pass as well. Amen. It's shortly to come to pass as well. Amen. So you can just look forward to that, and things that have been held up for you because of your heart. God is honoring your requests, and those doors are finna be open for you as well. Amen. And God is going to bless you to be a blessing to his people. Amen. You're going to be such a tremendous blessing to God's people. Amen. This is the season where God is going to just begin to root you and ground you more into what he has ordained you to be and to do. And all the hindrances that you've experienced in the times past, the Lord says that the enemies that you saw yesterday in this season, you're not going to see those same types of enemies anymore. Amen. So you can just look forward to that, receive that, amen, and walk in it, because it's coming upon your life suddenly. Amen.
Amen, I do.
Amen. Amen. So you can definitely receive that. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I receive that. Thank you, Apostle. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too. Amen. Who is that caller from? Well, we got two calls from North Carolina. One of them just came in. Praise God. Who's that from North Carolina that just came in? Amen. I mean, put you on the spot like that. Praise God. But I'm just.
It's me, Pastor Jackie.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
Fine.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. It's good to hear your voice. I know we haven't talked in a good little while. I've just been kind of tied up lately. But, woman of God, I see the Lord redirecting you concerning some areas in your ministry and even in your life, period. I see the Lord redirecting you in some areas. Amen. and also see a prophetic upgrade for you as well. You know, sometimes we flow in a portion of the prophetic or specific place in the anointing, and we get satisfied with just that. Amen. Some people just get satisfied with just speaking in tongues, and that's it. But, amen, you're supposed to, all believers are supposed to be able to prophesy. But anyway, I see a prophetic upgrade for you. Not saying that you don't prophesy already now, but God is going to increase that in greater measure. Amen. Because there's some people that he's called you to, and he's some people that he's sending you to, that's going to need a word from the Lord. Amen. Teaching is good. Praise God. Being able to articulate the word is good, amen, but we, in this time and season, people need to hear a word from the Lord, amen. So the people that God is sending you to, there's going to be such a powerful prophetic word in your mouth, amen, that when it's delivered, it's going to happen almost instantaneously in these people's lives. God is calling you to people that need to be delivered from abuse, amen, and drug habits and stuff like that. The Lord is sending you to these types of people, and the word of the Lord from your mouth will set them free instantly. I'm not talking about no delayed time or no hour later. I'm talking about instantly. Amen. So you can just expect that, look forward to that, and remember this, that provision is always in the place of your assignment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That is the word of the Lord for you. Amen. Who is that caller from? North Carolina, West North Carolina? Western part, I guess. That's what the W stands for. West North Carolina. Amen.
That's me, Apostle.
Who is that?
Apostle Fairbanks.
Oh, okay. What's going on with you? How you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful, man of God. I'm doing wonderful. Amen.
Well, I've been keeping up to date from your postings and everything else. I don't feel like I'm missing much, but I believe God's having you to just keep taking it higher, and I just want to keep encouraging you on that.
Amen. I receive that. Amen. And I also received that word that you inboxed me the other day. That was definitely a word. Amen. So
praise the Lord.
Amen. But there's also coming in a upgrade for you as well. Man, the Lord is just dealing with me with this word upgrade right now. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
There's an upgrade that's coming too. And the higher that God is pushing us to, the more stuff that's around us and that's even on us or whatever the case may be, the more stuff falls off us.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Lord takes us higher, he always kind of like, you know, just brush other stuff off of us. You see what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
so in this season, you know, the Lord is calling you to a place in him that you have not been before. He's calling you to a place in authority and power and revelation that you have not experienced before. He's called you to that place, and he's calling you to this place, and I see him literally like you know, pushing you to this place. And it's like, honestly, even those of us that are leaders, praise God, those of us that are leaders, those of us that are apostles, apostolic and prophetic leaders, the higher we go, the more stuff that's being broken off of us, the more that God, you know, get us to a place of, and when I say purity, it don't mean that we are necessarily defiled, but the stuff that we used to entertain and do before, we can't do it in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I definitely see the Lord really thrusting you in that place where what had took in place and what happened last season and what you had to endure and put up with and or different folks or be involved in last season, praise God, amen. They can't, and they and those things can't go with you in this season in which God is thrusting you to. So don't be surprised if, you know what I'm saying, God start removing some folks from your life or from your inner circle, whatever the case may be, you know, because the Lord is pushing you to another place. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He's pushing you to another place. And greater provisions will be released, you know, as you get to that place, because the Lord has been dealing with me, too, about provision being in the place of our assignment. You know,
mm-hmm.
Whenever the Lord calls us to a greater work, amen. The Lord always, this there seems to be a lot of times a greater need for finances to do what God has called us to do. Amen. But in this hour, you know what I'm saying, God is saying for all these people that if we would allow him to get us to that place where we're fulfilling our assignment for this season, then provision will meet us there. Amen. So that's the word of the Lord for you. Amen. And you be blessed, man of God.
You too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Did I get that caller from Louisiana yet? Did I get that caller from Louisiana? Yeah, yeah, that's oh, okay. Cool. Praise God. Amen. We got chosen for this on the line. Amen. She's a regular. God bless you. Thank you for coming on. Amen. If there's anything that anybody wants to release at this time before I get off the line, you know, if there are any prophets, praise God. I always give room for the prophets to speak. Praise God. I see Apostle Hill hanging in there. Amen. On the line. Amen. God bless you. Now's the time to speak now. Forever hold your peace. Amen. Can we get ready to close out? Amen. No word from the Lord. Going once. Going twice. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I just encourage you all just to continue just to stay in that place with the Lord. And if you're not there, get there. Amen. It's not that hard. Amen. Folks try to make you go through all these different steps you know, 10 steps to your breakthrough or 8 steps to the life you want and, you know, how to be a better you and, you know, all this stuff. Praise God. Just one step, Jesus. Amen. One day I'm really going to teach on the ministry of Jesus in context. Amen. Because people don't know what Jesus came here to do. Amen. People don't know what Jesus have done. And what's been made available to us as a result of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. A lot of people don't know the authority that they have. That's why the devil be beating them upside the head, because they don't understand the authority that they have. Yes, we're going to experience demonic warfare. Some of us have more extreme warfare than the others, but praise God, that stuff should not be overtaking you. Yeah, you may feel a little bit, you may feel a little ache, a little pain, you may feel something, praise God, but it's not supposed to overtake you. Amen. I'm pretty sure Jesus felt stuff. The Apostle Paul said that he preached the gospel with infirmity of flesh, so sometimes, amen, sickness try to come afflict his body, amen, but it wasn't necessarily because something was wrong with him, but the demonic forces of that region, praise God, sometimes can come and try to afflict your body, praise God, but still and all, he preached the gospel and he overcame those demonic forces, amen. So even in the midst of warfare, we still have victory, amen, and people need to know how to have victory in warfare, amen. People don't understand what Jesus came to do, amen, but we're going to touch on that in future segments. Amen. Amen. We're going to touch on that. Praise God. So, amen. If there's nothing else to claim my attention, thank you, Apostle. Yeah, I appreciate that. That means a lot. Amen. I see my caller from East Virginia, but, you know, I know who that is. They can't come on right now, but God bless you. I love you. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for what you have done, what you're revealing, what you have revealed, Father, concerning the apostolic ministry. I pray that every apostolic leader and prophetic leader really grabs hold of this, Father, and really study the scriptures to show themselves approved, Father, and begin to get in a place where they actually are sure of their assignment in the earth, Father. Lord, I just ask, Father, that you would continue, Father, just to prepare your people, Father, for this move of God that is upon us, Father, just a wave of kingdom demonstration, my God. Father, Jesus, kingdom demonstration, a wave of kingdom demonstration, Father. Father, I just thank you, Father, Father, there be any sick, Father, or afflicted that's on this line tonight, Father. I bind up the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. I'm even feeling somebody that's dealing with something with their head. I don't know if you're having a headache or something. There's something that's going on with your head. But I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I command every demonic demon force that's afflicting the mind and afflicting the head, migraines. I rebuke migraines now in Jesus' name, and I command it and loose you now in Jesus' name. Father, anything, Father, that's coming up against your people that's not like you, Father, I counsel it right now in Jesus' name, Father. And we apply the victory of the cross to every situation, every financial situation, every domestic situation, Father. We apply the victory of the cross in Jesus' name, Father. Even personal warfare, Father, we apply the victory of the cross in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Father, I thank you that you love us so much, Father, that you won't leave us ignorant, Father. You won't leave us not informed, but that you will inform us and teach us, Father, your people, that we may be effective in the earth and learn how to walk in our kingdom citizenship and our authority, Father, as believers. So, Father, we just thank you and we bless your name and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless y'all. I love y'all so much, and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you once again for the support of the ministry. Amen. Keep us in prayer. Amen. As we go forth, I'm in the ministry as well. We got some things that's brewing. Praise God. Got some things that God is doing, and definitely appreciate it if you keep us in prayer. Don't pray against us. If you're going to pray against us, don't do it. Amen. I just got to put that out there. Amen, because you got some that are prayers that are against, amen. But pray kingdom prayers, pray from your heart. Praise God. I'm just continue to pray for us, amen. And I had to put that out there because you have some folks that actually do that. I've encountered it, amen, still is. Praise God. So that's why I had to put that out there, amen. But I meant no disrespect to those who do and will pray from their heart. Amen. Love y'all. Until next time, remember that we love you. Amen. But Jesus loves you more. Let's keep this thing kingdom. Amen. Let us all, you know, continue just to be unified, you know, so that we can advance the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. You all have a blessed night.